We're going to look at Acts chapter 8. If you have a Bible, I think the page number is, there it is, 1704, Acts chapter 8. And we're going to see if we can make this thing work. We had great people here. While you were all home eating breakfast, there were folks working hard to get this PowerPoint up there and working. We just might have to have the fancy clicker which says next or something like that. They told me Ray has something really cool up here. If I had known that, then I could have had him set it up. I wouldn't know how to do that, but all right. Acts 8, it's kind of a familiar story, and what makes it fun, it's a story. And it's called Philip and the Ethiopian Eunuch. So here we go. Now, the angel of the Lord said to Philip. Now, Philip was in Samaria, by the way, when this happens. So, remember, he's supposed to go from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria. And he said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, the one that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And as on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Y'all know what that was. I think in grade 4 I had to memorize that chapter, Isaiah 53. That's what he was reading. Philip knew it. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Okay, if we can go to the next slide. Okay, we have to have Amos and Andy. All right, I'm just going to tell you. My grandchildren call this a dad joke. I heard this week, you know what's worse than a dad joke? A grandpa joke. I qualify. Okay, so here's my dad joke for you. Knock, knock. Andy. And he bit me again. Yeah, that's not any good. So let's try it again. Knock, knock. Amos. A mosquito bit me. Knock, knock. Andy. Andy bit me again. Now it makes sense, doesn't it? You can't have Amos or Andy without Amos. You have to have them both. And many, many years ago, this new teacher came from New Jersey and would show us all this Amos stuff that we needed to know in order to understand Andy. Now, you could understand it, but when you understood that there was something else, too, it just became so more rich. So the next thing here, flip that. Here's something I've been working on for 40 years in teaching school, is the problem of proof text. I think it would be really safe to say just about 99% of the problems in any denomination come to the fact that instead of reading the Bible, we read it like it's a big barrel of fortune cookies. And we dig in and we take out our fortune cookie and we read it and say, whoa. But we completely forget Amos and Andy. We forget that there's a story before it that goes with the story afterward. Or we even sometimes forget there's a verse before that goes with the verse after. And I go into my aunt's house and she's got this beautiful verse on the wall as soon as you walk in the door. But what she doesn't understand is what that verse really says is about the exact opposite of what she wants you to think it says. And that's because she didn't read. I'm sure she did. I mean, she's an awesome, wonderful lady. She's one of the pioneers of women's coffee break. Led many people to Christ through that. But yet, as proof text, in just little snippets of the Bible, instead of taking the whole thing and realizing, like Job just did in here, and in the book of Job, right, where you got his friends who take this one chapter from the book of Deuteronomy and say, that always applies, Job. And Job comes and says, oh, you're missing all this other part that says this. And we need to read the whole Bible. And sometimes we don't do that. So let's go to the next slide. So we have Amos and Andy. And we got to look at, now we're looking at the book of Acts. And next one, too, I think we can do. Okay, the whole book of Acts, this is the theme. It's all about the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And how the Holy Spirit changes the church. So in the book of Acts, the disciples are there, and they see Jesus go up into heaven, which in the Greek world would say, he's God. Did you ever think what that would take? If you had been one of his buddies following him around. Yeah, you know this guy that you used to eat with and all that? He's God. John, he's your cousin. Yeah, he created you. You got to be kidding me. No, they began to realize that Jesus is God. And then the Holy Spirit comes down, or the angel comes down and says, this is it. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and that's what we've been into in Acts. Philip is in Samaria, but now we got to go to the ends of the earth. And so he's going to send him to this Ethiopian as well. Okay, so the next slide says, okay, so let's first of all, just who are these guys? And maybe if you're like me, I didn't grow up with the NIV. In fact, I grew up with the American Standard Version. Remember that guy? And some of you, even the King James Version. And well, you didn't have a story about a Candyke. You had a story about Candace. Well, the translators today say, oh, but we found more information. A Candyke, this is more of a position. We're not giving you the name. And just think of it as a name like Pharaoh. All the people in Egypt were pharaohs or Caesars in the Roman world, a Candyke. And this is an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, that's a toughie to explain to sophomores in high school. So usually I pick on some kid who lived on the farm, and I say, you know, what's a eunuch? I said, do you know the difference between a bull and a steer? And we play that game. And in a horse, you have a stallion and a gelding. And I even used to know the difference with pigs. That one's, is it a boar and a barrow or something like that? A eunuch is somebody who voluntarily loses their maleness for a position, often in government, especially in the Egyptian world. You cannot rise up the ranks, because we have to know that if you go anywhere near the harem, you're safe. But not only is he a eunuch, but he's called an Ethiopian. He's not one of us, folks. This is not a Jew. And then Jesus, even when he sent out the 12, said, just go to the lost people from the house of Israel. It's for the Jews. And the Jewish people knew that. It's for us. And now Philip is asked to go to this guy. How about the next one? Philip had an amazing ministry in Samaria. I remember once on a plane ride having this discussion, because this is Philip. Do you remember Paul? Paul is having an outstanding ministry. Hundreds of people coming to Christ in Corinth. And what does God say right in the middle of these two amazing ministries to Paul? Yep, things are going so awesome in Corinth. Go to Ephesus. What? Hey, Philip, many people are coming to Christ in Samaria. Go here. Why would God do that? We don't know. Why does God allow certain things to happen? We don't know. The end of the book of Job says, you're never going to understand the mind of God. You are human. God is God. But God had a reason. And we don't know. But God wanted this man to know his son Jesus. And so instead of this huge number of people that Philip is influencing, you're going to go to this one that has no standing in the Jewish community. Next slide. And just follow with me on this slide. When you're clicking it, you'll know when to click. So you can do one more click, and I'm going to read this, and then the next slide will continue this. Deuteronomy 23. This is why I said you need Amos to understand Andy. This is the Amos part. This is what God said to the people of Israel. No one who has been emasculated, no one who's been made a eunuch, by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. No one born of a forbidden marriage, nor any of their descendants, may enter the assembly of the Lord, not even to the 10th generation. No Ammonite or Moabite or any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord. I guess I was wrong. We're to stop right there a minute. Why not? Because they have sold out for a place of privilege. He's going to tell us about the Moabites and the Ammonites. The Moabites and the Ammonites, they were people who tried to stop the Israelites, even though they were relatives, and not let them go into the promised land. We got a problem. No one who's a Moabite to the 10th generation may enter the assembly of God. King David, descendant of Ruth, the Moabite, even though Scripture said. But this guy, do you realize what he just did? I was in Istanbul, and I was in the big museum in Istanbul. I don't like museums. Some people can go to museums and read every single plaque in the place. I do a run-through. But one of the things that really caught my attention, there's a big hunk of stone, and the inscription tells us that it came from the temple in Jerusalem. Only one temple in Jerusalem. And this thing said in different languages, if you are not a Jew, I'm very much paraphrasing, if you are not a Jew, you go past this sign and you are responsible for your life. You may not go through here. This guy came all the way from Ethiopia. He's got a scroll. He must be somewhat of a God-fearer. But he comes to the temple to worship the God of the scripture, and he sees the sign saying, you are not welcome. He's a foreigner and he's a eunuch. You may not go in. And yet, he goes back home. He didn't take the scroll and throw it. He goes back home wanting to read more about this God that he's come to know. This is Amos. You can't be part of the family of God if you're a foreigner or a eunuch, and he's both. And yet God sends Philip to him. So then let's go to the next slide. There's a tension in the book of Acts. The people have to learn. God has his agenda. God, the Holy Spirit, is going to come and take the gospel and spread it through the whole world. Abraham, remember when Abraham was called, God said, Abraham, I have chosen you. Why? To show the world what it's like to be a God follower. I didn't choose you, Abraham, so that you can go to heaven and there we be and have joy together. No, it's because you are going to attract all these other people and we're all going to be there. But now we got a prohibition. And so poor Philip. You know what's going to be the next story? Peter. Hey, Peter. Peter doesn't even know about Philip. But just like Philip, Peter, you're at the home of Simon the Tanner, who's probably not kosher. But Peter's there. And this Gentile wants you to come into his house. Are you kidding me, God? You can show me all the sheets of unclean animals there are, but I've never eaten that, and I'm not going to. This must be a test from God. No, Peter, it's not a test. It's a call. Go to that home. And it blew Peter away. And when he came back to Jerusalem and he told the story, it blew the believers away. Really? But I thought, yeah, I know, we did. And I'm not going to say those people a generation ago were wrong. But the Holy Spirit is coming and telling us, I have something new for you. And the new thing for Peter is that even Cornelius, this Roman, he can be part of the family of God. And for Philip, this Ethiopian, this eunuch, can be part of the family of God. Next slide. What is he reading? I already told you. You can go to the next one too. Just keep going. The suffering servant passage. This passage in Isaiah is talking about, it's explaining to the people of God that God chose the people of Israel. He chose them and he called them, but they are his suffering servant. They suffer. The whole story of the people of Israel, they are chosen by God to show the world. They are called a nation of what? A nation of priests. All of you out there are to bring people to God. And their suffering is for your sake. Their suffering is for the sake of anyone throughout history who will read about it. And we see what God is like by watching God deal with the people of Israel. And we see God deal with a mighty person like David, but we also see God deal with a terrible king like Jehoiachin. And this guy's reading that, and he wants to know, who's this about? Is this guy writing about himself? So is Isaiah writing about Isaiah? No. He's writing about Israel. But here's the cool thing. This also, look how Jesus fulfills it. Fulfills it with the big capital F, fulfill it. Jesus was everything that Israel was called to be. And Jesus is our suffering servant. And so he reads it and he knows that this is about the Savior of the world who came and died for him. He was bruised for your iniquity. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. With his stripes, you are healed. And he stops. And he says to Philip, can I be baptized? You know, there are places in America today where the Philip would have said, oh no. Deuteronomy 23 says, you can't be baptized. Sorry, buddy. Maybe you can sit in the back. No. Yes, you are a child of God. But now here's something really cool. I hope you think it's cool. Sometimes I have really cool things for high school kids, and they just say, What a nerd. How can you think that's cool? But I think this is cool. Remember, he's reading Isaiah 53. He's got a long ride back to Ethiopia. He keeps reading. So let's go to the next slide. This is the one where I want you to keep going because it's two slides. If he kept reading, he would soon get to Isaiah 56. This is what Isaiah 56 says. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me, and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. Now, he's not having sons and daughters. But God's going to give him something better than sons and daughters, this eunuch. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord and minister to him to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Remember Jesus saying that? When the money changers are desecrating the place of the Gentiles, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. Can you imagine? You just got back from Jerusalem where the leaders of the spiritual movement of Judaism just told you you can't go into the temple. You're on your way home and you meet this guy named Philip who tells you about Jesus and you're baptized. And now you keep reading God's word and you find out you can be included. Amazing. Let's go to the next slide. And just follow with me. We're going to do one at a time. Where's the gospel in this story? Sometimes the church has used a verse to exclude someone who the Holy Spirit accepts. We have to be careful. You know, this verse says that, and you go back through the history of Christianity, and you know the people who were either told or truly felt they were completely unwelcome because somebody had a verse. And they threw that verse at him. But that same person forgot the whole rest of the counsel of God, of Scripture. And so we have to be careful. The next point, this story shows us why we read the whole Bible and not just proof text. Yep, you can show me a verse that says this, but I can show you 50 verses that say this. And that's why we read it all. And that's why we have to be careful. Also, we have to come to Scripture with humility. The next point. Some of us feel like the Ethiopian eunuch. Oh, I don't know what you've done. You do. And you don't think God can ever forgive you because you did that. And maybe it's something really small. I remember being a little kid and calling my brother a fool. My mother pulled out the verse from Matthew. If you call somebody a fool, you're in danger of the fire of hell. Well, thanks for telling me now. It's too late. Well, yeah, let's read all of Scripture. And first of all, let's understand what Jesus is saying with that verse. But we know that we've done some of those things, and there's a verse that says, I shouldn't have done that thing. And so we feel like the Ethiopian eunuch, I'm not worthy. You know, that's a great place to start. Nope, nobody's worthy of grace. But let's get past that. I'm not worthy, but I have a Savior who loves me. And then let's go to the next one. Some of us label others like they are the Ethiopian eunuch. Oh, but they. Oh, I love that Bible verse. Jesus said, don't throw your pearls before swine. Well, they're swine. I don't think when Jesus said, don't throw your pearls before swine, he said, I want you to go around and identify all the swine and then keep the gospel from them. I think what he's saying in that context is there are some people who are going to keep rejecting and rejecting and rejecting and rejecting. There can be a point when you say, I'm going to move on to somebody else. He did tell his disciples that. If they keep rejecting you, go here. That doesn't mean we never come back. Doesn't mean the swine doesn't ever come back. But we label people, and we've decided they're not worthy of the gospel. Jesus didn't say that. So the last slide, this is the last slide, and just tick them all off here. There's no one God wants excluded from his kingdom. If you kept reading the Amos part I told you, Deuteronomy 23, and it says who is not allowed, that same chapter cracks the door open to allow other people to come into the kingdom, non-Jewish folks. And it says, oh yeah, they're invited in. Any slave who's run away, you take them in. It's not a new thing, this idea of welcoming the fugitive, the stranger. And then go to 1 Timothy. The whole theme of 1 Timothy is God wants all people to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. I don't know how you define the word all, but I think it includes the Ethiopian eunuch. And for Peter, it includes the Roman centurion. And in our context, it includes anybody that we're going to meet. And just the last thing, I hope you all know, you have never done anything that would exclude you from the kingdom of God. You haven't. God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to come to him. And he wants you to go to the Ethiopian eunuchs and extend that grace to them as well. That's the God we serve. We don't serve a God who builds barriers. We build a God who opens his arms wide. We build a God that even when you completely disrespect him and you run away from him, he's looking every day so that when you come back home and you're walking down the driveway, he runs out with his arms wide and says, we're having a party. My son came home. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are the King of the universe, but what a gracious God. And Father, sometimes we forget your grace. We forget that you sent Jesus as that suffering servant who was bruised and wounded and killed and was in the grave, not even his own, and he conquered death for us. And Father, we know that that gift is not just for us, but you want that for the whole world. So, Father, forgive us when we take our light and hide it under a bushel. Forgive us, Father, when we label people as unworthy or unable. Father, you've called us to be the light of the world. We want to accept that calling. Walk with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.